So I want to talk for just a second. I had a revelation this morning as I was in service. And of course, today being Mission Sunday, my mind and heart is on giving. And something happened. And I'll tell you what it is. I understand giving on a whole new level after this one service. Because I was sitting in the back, and this morning I eloquently smashed a raisin that my son dropped under my feet, and I smashed it completely into the carpet there next to where Avery's sitting. Did you see that? I didn't even tell you about it, so there's some raisins on the floor there. He dropped raisins everywhere. I stepped all over them, smashed them into the carpet. So I understand now on a whole new level, after being a dad, that things like carpet and paying for janitors and paying for cleaning pews matters. Right? And we need to give. And if you were to step into my house, I live in an everyday environment in which it's very important to have cleaning supplies and to have all the things. There's so much money that goes out from being a dad, and I understand that on a whole new level right now. But Mission Sunday is special because it's more than just what we do to maintain the building or to support local works or to support awesome outreach opportunities that we have. I could do a whole lesson on the things that we've been able to do as a congregation to support the Leander area. Vernon and Fran, it's so lovely to see you. I haven't seen you yet. I'm glad that you're here. Y'all are some of my favorite people on the planet. So sorry, side note, got distracted. Squirrel. I'm back. And so giving is an amazing thing, but what's awesome is that today we get to talk about giving to missions, and I wanted to talk about that. Specifically, you've heard some of the things that we give to. There's no way for us to go through all of the things that we give through. Grab the brochure, and it has a lot of the things detailed out there. If you really want to get invested in how we give, see people who are on our missions committee. Talk to them about it. And if you want to get involved in some of those things, go talk to our missions committee and find out if there's ever opportunities for you to figure out how you can get involved, whether that be financially or other ways as well. It's a great opportunity. But what I want to do is, you've heard what we give to. I want to talk about why we give for just a second. And listen, I'm going to give you something powerful. I'm about to tell you the single most important principle to giving. The one thing that matters above everything else. And there's a lot of things that God talks about when it comes to giving. There's a lot of things that we could talk about, but I've got one that matters more than anything. So listen up, get on the edge of your seat. Here it is. Don't miss it. The most important principle in giving. Give from your heart. If you need to respond, won't you comment together? No, I'm kidding. Listen, here's the deal. Don't give this morning. Don't give to Mission Sunday. And not just on Mission Sunday. This applies anytime you give to the church, okay? Don't give because you feel obligated. Don't give because you feel pressured. And don't give because you think that what you're giving to is the best and only good thing that you can give to. There are other good missions, mission works that you can find to support. There are other good things that you can find to give your money to. And so if you're giving because you feel pressured, or you feel like this is the best thing, or you feel like there's no other way, or if you feel obligated, then my request to you is please don't give. Because here's the reason, the most important reason that you should give. You should give from your heart. And if you're giving for any other reason, then you should wait until your heart catches up with your giving. You follow me? I think that's so important. Listen, there's three kinds of givers. And so I want you to tell me, which one are you? There's the flint, the sponge, and the honeycomb. So which one are you? See, to get anything out of the flint, what do you have to do? You got to strike it. You got to hammer it, right? And so when you hammer it, and you hammer it, and you hammer it, sparks fly out, and also a lot of chipped pieces fly out. And sometimes that's what people do in order to receive their money, right? Well, we're going to hammer it, and you're like, okay, fine. And it's just causing friction and tension. And so Are you the flint? Do you give because you feel like you've been hammered? There's also the sponge. How do you get things from a sponge? You squeeze it. And the more you squeeze it, the more it comes out. So pass the trays again, right? One more time. Have you ever watched some of those big mega churches on TV? You know what I'm talking about? And they'll pass the trays, and then they'll have their preacher come back out and say, you know, I'm just really feeling the Spirit call upon my soul right now that there are some of you who have more in your wallets. And so we're going to pass the trays one more time and pray over this. And I want you to reach in and grab everything in your wallet and put it in the plate, right? And we still didn't reach our budget. Pass them again. And so it's the sponge, right? I'm going to keep squeezing on it. Let me explain the sponge. If you are a sponge, then firstly, somebody's going to try to guilt you. And if you're the sponge, then you're just going to give. If the sermon was good enough, I need a great sermon to give. I need the great song service to give. I need everything to go really well. I need to see that this that I'm giving to satisfies what I want, right? And so you're the sponge. But you see, the honeycomb overflows with sweetness, right? A honeycomb is when a person understands what God has done for us. And you don't have to prime the honeycomb in order to give, right? You don't need to pass the plates 10 times in order for the honeycomb to give. Honeycombs don't give because they're obligated like the flint or that they're pressured like the sponge. They give from an overflow of sweetness. They give from an overflow of their heart. Let me give you an example of a scriptural honeycomb. I love this passage. Most of you know probably where I'm going. Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. As he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. And he saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. And Jesus turns to those near him and he says, I tell you the truth, Jesus said. This poor widow put in more than all of the others. I like to think that as combined. You follow me? It's not just that she put in more than each individual. She put in more than the collective rich who gave with her two copper coins. And he says, because all of these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on. You see, the Pharisees gave out of a surplus of riches, but she decides to give out of her poverty. In other words, the percentage of what she gave in relation to what she had exceeded all of the rest. Did you catch it? The wealthy were showing little dependence on God because they gave out of their excess. They gave out of what extra they had. But the widow's willingness to give her livelihood demonstrated that she was totally and completely dependent on God to be her provider and caretaker. She relied completely on Him to be her blessing. And so the woman who gives these two copper coins, or two mites, as it's called. Jesus praised her, but he didn't praise her because of the amount that she gave. He also didn't praise her because of her obligation or her status or for any other reason than she was praised because she gave from the heart. And Jesus looked at the heart behind the giving, and God is the one who can determine the heart. And so Jesus looks at her heart and says, she gave more than anyone because her heart was in the right place. And so my proposal to you this morning is please do not give. As much as we may want your money, don't give unless you give from the heart. And if your heart's not there, then don't give your money. Let your heart catch up to your money and then give. So let me explain a couple of things and then we'll be done. Firstly, let me tell you why we give. Here it is. Why we give, and you've heard me say this before, but we give because loving and giving go hand in hand. And you can look at one of the most famous verses in all of Scripture for this principle in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He what? Gave. He loved the world, so then He gave His one and only Son. It was His loving that propelled His giving, and the same thing should be true for us, that it is our loving that propels our giving. Let me ask you a question. When I read this verse, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son for us, I get hung up on that part, for us, right? I get hung up on the fact, I've struggled with this my whole life. And I want to know if I'm the only one. Can I see a show of hands if you have ever wondered in your mind, how could God love someone like us, like me and you, enough to give Jesus up? Has anyone ever struggled with that question? Good, I'm not alone. I mean, it's something we rack our brains around. It's just one of the most confusing things. How could God have done what He done? I'm thankful He did it. I praise Him for it, but why did He do it? And I've wondered that for so long. But you know, as I was preparing this message, I realized maybe we're measuring the wrong thing. Let me explain this. What we're doing is we measure ourselves against the sacrifice of Jesus, and we often feel inadequate. We feel inadequate for the sacrifice that He gave. And we feel like David, by the way, we're not the only ones who have felt this way. David in Psalm 8, one of my favorite passages, what is man that you are mindful of them, the son of man that you care for him? And so you see what's happening is David and us are looking at the magnificence of God. We look at the sacrifice that God gave in sending His son to die on a cross for us. And we look at ourselves in comparison to that greatness and that wonderful love. And in our minds, we realize we don't measure up. We're not worth that. We feel unworthy. We feel devalued, but listen to me. Here's my conclusion. As I was preparing this, I realized I think we're measuring the wrong thing. We will never understand why God did what He did when we compare ourselves to the sacrifice. We will never be worthy, right? But if we measure God's love and if we measure God's heart against anything, God's love is enough. And that includes the sacrifice, the awesome sacrifice of His Son on a cross for broken and flawed children of His. So, how could God's sacrifice, how could He sacrifice His Son? It's not because of our worthiness, but because of His love. That's what made the difference. God is good, amen? And so, God so loved that He gave. Loving and giving go hand in hand. So why do we give to missions specifically? And I could give hundreds of passages as to why we should support and give to missions and missionaries, but for the sake of time, I will choose one verse that is in itself enough. John 13 and verse 34. Listen to this. Jesus says this. And this is either one of your favorite or least favorite scriptures. A new command I give you, Jesus said, love one another. If the verse ended there, I could be okay with it. But it goes on. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. You see, we're not just commanded to love. We are commanded to love like Christ. And the emphasis is on the like Christ. And that's what makes this principle so powerful and so difficult, right? And so we're commanded to love like Christ. And this command to love like Christ is both for the how and the who. Okay? So how does God love? We've already talked about it. For God's love was enough to send His Son for broken people like us. In fact, how did God love? God's love was enough to change the very definition of love itself. Right? I mean, if you look in John, he says, God is, He changed the definition. Literally, if you open up John's dictionary, next to the word love, you've got a one-word definition, and it's God. Because God is love. God loves totally, and he loves completely. So who does God love? How does he love? Completely and totally. Who does he love? John 3:16, that's right. For God so loved the world. Very good. God loved the world. God loved everybody. Everybody. So you think of them, and God loves them. It doesn't matter who. The good and the bad. The small and the big. The men and the women. Everybody. God loves them. Completely. Slave and free. Lost and saved. Holy and unholy. Everybody. God loves them. For God so loved the world. Not the righteous, but the world. And that includes, folks, listen to me, near and far. Near and far. Why do we give to missions? Because we're commanded to love like Christ. And God loves everybody, near and far. And so God has blessed us at Leander to be able to show love to people in our community here, which we do. And there's so many ways that we could talk about in which we do that. But also through technology and through brave missionaries, God has blessed us at Leander to be able to love people far away. And we have that opportunity. And so this morning is just another chance to be able to tap into that blessing, to give, not and to give and to love, not just those near, but those far. So, why should you give? You should give because you're a honeycomb. You should give from the overflow of your heart. You shouldn't give because you feel obligated, and you shouldn't give because you feel pressured. You should give like the widow, who in turn loved like the Lord. You should give from your heart. Because loving and giving go hand in hand. You give to what you love. So, you should also, who should you give to? Everybody, and that includes the near and the far. Listen, we never want to close without offering an invitation. So if there's something that we can pray for you about, or if you have never made the commitment to follow Jesus, whatever it is that you need, the lesson's yours. Think about it. If you need to respond, won't you come as together we stand and sing?